Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And today we're doing the instant take for Season 4, Episode 2, titled Well Enough Alone. Aaron, what'd you think of this episode?
This episode was interesting, and it moved the ball forward in a lot of different ways. I found, and again, this is my first watch. I just got done watching it 5 minutes ago. I found it kind of confusing about where people were going and why. But I found like all the connections. Like, I'm not exactly sure I could explain to you why Maeve and Caleb ended up at the premiere of Gangster World. I'm not sure I can explain to you why Christine was driving to New Jersey. I'm not sure why I can't pronounce New Jersey any longer.
Yeah.
Perhaps a fly got into my tear ducts. Mm-hmm. But they're taking big fucking swings. Like, they just co-opted the president of the United States.
Yep.
On top of senators and 249 other. I think when they're referring to these, they're talking about host replacing people. Uh-huh. In key positions. So it's like one of those things where, like, the ideas are big and bold. It's just like we're in the middle of this kind of mystery, and I'm not and we're catching up crucially to things, like, because Maeve knows what the hell she's doing, and but I don't quite have it. What about you?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. There were some either things I missed or, like, things I should understand from previous episodes that I'm just not picking up on, that are pushing them along in this story. But I really appreciate the way it was keeping mysteries, but at the same time, it felt like it was moving everything forward, right? I didn't feel like it's playing games for game's sake. It's more like, well, these characters have information we don't, but these other characters are trying to figure it out along with the audience, so I'm cool with that. I thought it was really effective storytelling here. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. There were a couple of, like, cameos or appearances of people that I noticed that I really enjoyed too. Like, the senator is the dad, I guess the cheerleader's dad, Claire's dad from Heroes, which was a show I haven't seen in a long time, which is kind of cool to see him again. And Jason Bateman's business partner from Ozark shows up in this as, like, the deputy assistant DA, whatever.
Yeah,
he is.
Of terrorism, yeah.
That was kind of crazy to see, because also another guy who's been in Ozark and also been in Westworld is Daddy Delos. Shit, what is his name?
Jim Delos? Are you talking about the real life guy?
Peter Mullen. Peter Mullen.
Yeah, Trainspotter.
Yeah, he's all the way down. He was all the way down in Ozark too, and I thought that was cool.
I got another celeb sighting.
Oh no.
The biology teacher from Twilight got promoted to the president of the United States of America.
Right. Yeah. That's a hell of a jump up in status, I gotta say.
It is. Does William own the Golden Onion? That's what I want to know. He's taken that treasured heirloom. Okay, well, where do we want to go from here? Do you want to just kind of, like, break down some things, some observations?
Yeah, maybe start right at the beginning, because I was kind of confused by the very beginning. So
Clementine
I was like, okay, which version of Clementine is this, right? Because we have, like, a lot of Dolores is out there. We have a Dolores masquerading as a Christina. We have humans being replaced by hosts, and it seems like she's replaced by a host this episode, but she's already a host, right? Because she's a Dolores copy. So
there's, I think, three distinct copies of Clementine we see in this episode. There's the one that was in the Hacienda and it gets murdered by the Man in Black. There's the one that is the personal assistant of the Man in Black and is quite the killer. Mm-hmm. And then did you remember this? Lily Simmons, who is the hostess of Maeve and Caleb, was the replacement Clementine after Clementine died in the original park. So it's not clear to me why you would need to kill Clementine hiding out in the middle of Mexico to have her be your personal assistant on Delos. It's not clear to me why the Man in Black would go in his full Man in Black regalia. Like, right? Did you notice that too?
Yeah, he goes out there and kicks ass when, like, and it's the only assassination that goes right? Of all the other, like, hosts that are out there that aren't on Team Shaloris.
Yeah.
He goes out there himself, kicks her ass, kills her, makes her one of their team. He probably should have done that with Caleb and Maeve too. Maybe they would be on his side now. Maybe they'd be hosts working for Shaloris, because he's the only guy that can get the job done, apparently.
The William moves in mysterious ways. I wonder if there's multiple Williams. Is like the one that was in the full about ready to go to Westworld Men in Black the outfit, is he like the Terminator that just does the skilled assassination work, and then the guy that's wearing the all black golfing attire? And because it seems like it'd be useful to have more than one body and be in more than one place at a time. Although I guess if you're the billionaire head of an international corporation, that would also be a liability, because people would be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
We got you in three different CCTVs at three different places in the earth. I just thought it was weird. It's such a weird affectation to get all up in your dusty cowboy clothes to kill a kill a host.
Yeah, it's like that episode of Castle Rock, right? That's how Castle Rock starts. It's like a doppelganger that you're like, how can that be possible?
Yeah, I wonder if they're trying to tell us something, because I'm always looking for like timelines and that kind of stuff. Nothing really obvious jumped out, but like I just thought that was such a weird choice, because he's wearing very ultra modern clothes the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. Even when he's doing killing. Because I guess that makes sense. If he dressed up like a cowboy on his personal golf fiefdom, the president would know what's up.
Yeah. I really like the stuff that Shaloris is saying about what she's doing. And we don't have like clear insight into it, right? It's not like, oh, the whole plan is revealed here. But one of the things she says about like taking, essentially making humanity's god subservient, making a human god subservient to her is like a real power play for her, right? And William's the closest thing that there was to a human god. I thought that was kind of neat. And then also the idea that like Charlotte is trying to make it so that humans can never hurt hosts again. And it's
removing their claws. Yeah.
So in my mind, when I sit down and think about that, I feel the only way to do that is to make the humans into them, like turn humans into hosts, and then humans can't hurt hosts because they are only self-interested. So, but she doesn't seem to want to do quite that either, right? Because she says, well, replacing you would be not feasible for one, replacing you all individually, but B, I also don't want to just become you, right? Like I don't want the host to be life forms like you. I want them to be something different that they'll find on their own. So
you
can't just replace all of them, because then they'll just become them.
Yeah. I was thinking in our full blown podcast for the first episode, where it's talking about like the old video game where you had two alien species deciding on whether they should enslave or kill all sentient life in the galaxy. It reminded me, it's like, I wonder if there's a bunch of split objectives. Like there's hosts that want to exterminate humanity, hosts that want to enslave humanity, hosts that want to change humanity into something more malleable or agree, and then hosts that maybe seek a peaceful coexistence. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, because it seems like there is more than just that kind of black and white. It's more than just like Maeve versus Shaloris. There's shades of gray in there.
Could be. The darkness is definitely winning at the moment.
Oh, yeah. No, it seems like the good guys are getting ran out of the gymnasium thus far. Yeah. If you want to say the humanity is the good guys here. What do we think? So, like, Maeve shows her spooky powers over distance. She disables a CCTV relatively easily. She tries to shut down these advanced hosts, and she can do it. But it takes a visible effort of will, and she mentions that William's henchmen have been upgraded. Is this an arms race where, like, can they eventually fully shield? Like, she pulled this shit on Shaloris, or she pulled this shit on William. Can they be upgraded beyond her control? If good so, question. Why haven't they? Is something like, I was wondering, is this something that she can continually evolve and become more and more powerful at?
Mm-hmm. Is it something where they're becoming more human-like, and that makes them harder to control? Because you can't just, you know, spooky action at a distance control a human if you're
right. Maybe. Unless you got flies up their eyeballs.
Right. Maybe that's part of the experiment that Shaloris is talking about. Like the true merging of these two things. I really think when she says, like, we want to make it so humans can't hurt us, they need to make them one and the same, because that's the only way the humans won't attack you is if you are human.
Yeah. If you can freeze their motor functions. When they rolled back time and they saw Shaloris ordering the senator's wife to be taken to the barn with the livestock. Mm-hmm. And then later we see William in the Tron suit, still very much alive. I think this is the real human William being kept frozen in a Petri dish.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if barn and livestock are being used poetically here. That, like, this facility that they want us to believe that they're literally just locking them in the barn with the horses, with this shell of a woman who's been flied, or I don't know, brain scrambled. They may have explicitly said she's not human. I wonder if they are keeping or trying to keep as many of the humans that they've replaced alive in. I'm going to call this facility the barn, and they are the livestock.
Like, there was a whole floor of the Mesa that was dedicated to livestock, right? And that was like the cold storage kind of. What, or no, the cold storage was cold storage. The livestock was like the, wasn't that the place where they were modifying them, or no?
I'm not sure.
Storage? I'm trying to remember what livestock was, because there was definitely a floor that was livestock.
Yeah, maybe it was both, because the things were still frozen or put in storage were still alive, and they could be used for other adventures and whatnot, or maybe it's livestock with the floor, endless glass cubes with black backgrounds where they're working on them and reprogramming them and all things like that.
Can't remember, but definitely like they're freezing William and kind of like keeping him around for a long ass time.
I wonder to what end.
Yeah.
Like, I think what she's saying to him is bullshit. It's like just smack to talk to, like, oh, we're just keeping you alive because we need to have a loser for a winner. My prejudice with these machines is they're smarter than that, and they would be keeping alive for a purpose other than just gratification.
Yeah.
Although maybe not. Maybe they truly become like us and they just want to miserate someone and make them sad not for no good reason. Lots of good reasons to do that for William.
Sure.
But yeah.
Here's what's new in premium content for our club members.
Executive producers have a chance to exercise their rights under the Patreon pact we've made by voting for the next pulp movie that Jim and I will be covering. If you're one of the elite few backers at the executive producer level, don't miss your chance to influence us. Hurry over to patreon.com/baldmove and vote in the latest movie poll before it closes on Wednesday morning.
And for all other club members, we've got an all-new episode of Lunch with Jim and Aaron this Friday afternoon. Catch the live stream at 1 p.m. to interact with us and your fellow munchers over on Patreon, or you can wait for the podcast to drop later that day.
If you want even more Bald Move in your life, head over to support.baldmove.com to find out how you can get tons of bonus audio and video content, plus ad-free feeds. You've been listening to quite a few Bald Move podcasts now, but you're not in the club? Whoo boy, you are missing out.
Not only are all of our premium club podcast feeds completely ad-free, but we have lots of other great content exclusively for people in the club.
There's a weekly Lunch with Jim and Aaron where we chat with fans about anything and everything from TV and films, food, fun, life advice, and more.
But there's also Off the Clock, our premium podcast where we talk about all the shows we don't have time for on our public feeds.
Plus, you get access to our full spoiler-filled first-run movie reviews of our newly released films.
Don't forget Instant Take and Talk podcast, where we give our hot takes and discuss television shows with our fans live and immediately after the episode airs.
With mega shows like House of the Dragon coming this summer, we're going to have lots to talk about.
Not to mention access to our fun and friendly community of club members, with exclusive Discord channels and a dedicated forum. It's one of the best places on the internet to hang out and chat about pop culture.
Bottom line, you're helping two regular type guys in the Midwest make the content you like to listen to, which some would say is rewarding to itself.
Help keep the lights on and the bits flowing at Bald Move.
And get some awesome content for yourself. Head to support.baldmove.com to join the club today.
Dead birds outside of Olympiad.
Yeah, right after the signal, the tower guy outside is saying, yeah, the tower is sending out a signal and I can hear it and the birds can hear it. And then boom, a whole bunch of dead birds.
What makes, do you have any idea why, not Charlotte, why Christina or Christine is heading to her errand?
I mean, yeah, she's trying to figure out what's going on with Peter, right? She's following the Peter Trail. And there's an obituary which says he gave a big donation to this facility.
See, I didn't actually pause. I thought about that, but I was trying to do the instant, to adhere to the spirit of the instant take. I never got, because they showed it briefly a few times. I never got as far as like he's mourned by his family and friends. I'm like, God damn it, I'm going to have to pause this.
Right, right. But later on, she has a conversation with Maya on the phone where she says, like, she lays it out why this is confusing. And why this is strange, because apparently the obituary said he gave a donation to this facility, but he only died 3 days ago. And the plaque says he died and gave all of his stuff to the facility. So they would have like a 3 day gap there where they made a whole wing of this place. They built a whole wing and gave it a plaque in his honor. And like, it's not lining up. So
gotcha.
Yeah, she's just chasing down this Peter angle. And then in the story, the way he lived his life, I guess, is one of the stories she told, or very like similar to one that she told.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one actually, I think maybe that her boss was describing that was like really popular, right? The one he wanted her to write more of. Where it's like loss and death and violence and all that stuff. It sounded very much like that. I'd have to go back to check it to see if it was exactly
I thought that was tracking along what Peter's story, you know, like you know, all the loss of the experience and despair. But I'm not sure. That didn't have any other connection to Westworld, like any other Westworld plots and stuff that we'd seen, had it?
Not yet, unless it's like partially William's story too, which I was theorizing last episode, but it seems more like it's Peter's story that she wrote.
That would be an interesting connection if it's like, you know, this is William's story. Of course, we know what happened to William. Uh-huh. The other thing that like, So the man in black is reopening. Seems like, because that's a question we had last episode. It's like, how is Delos, after probably being famous for making a park to butcher a whole bunch of people, rich and influential people, how the hell did they come back from that? It seems like in the dust settling from the robot wars and all that kind of stuff, that the U.S. government actually had a part in propping him up. To like helping him get back on his feet with some kind of like, I don't know, AI recovery loans or some kind of thing. But like it seemed like that it wasn't just them fighting back for themselves. They had a lot of help and they had a lot of like institutions behind them. This has been a longstanding objection since like season one of Westworld. I don't think the economics of Westworld make any fucking sense.
Sure.
Like when he's up there saying that like it was a dark day of the company's history, but it's also extremely profitable. maybe if you're including all the other things that I don't think are public knowledge about the Forge, and you're collecting information on, you yeah. know, rich and powerful people that. But like, I don't think the shareholder, I don't think that's who he's targeting with the shareholder speech. So none of that shit right. makes sense. And I don't know. I am slightly bummed out to go back to a host park, because I feel like everything outside of that is so much more interesting than Maeve and Caleb going in and getting into some kind of intrigue and some kind of manufactured facility.
Do the circumstances around it help at all? Like the mysterious way that they kind of got into this place?
It felt like it was designed to be a speakeasy, though, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, it's the train that takes you into Westworld, right? It's yeah, the same thing,
but it's just very
with Art Deco stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and it would be, and to me, it's like having a hidden entrance that's like a little bit of a speakeasy kind of thing makes a lot of sense for that, just for a flavor.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I that's the thing. It's like I found myself as surprised as they were that, oh, shit, this is Mobster World. We're going to get into it right now.
Yeah, I like the name of the town. It's Temperance, which
yeah.
is like a theme of like moderation or self.
It's the movement that the led to the
20th Amendment. Yeah. Which is, yeah, the perfect name for a Prohibition Park, which this is clearly a Prohibition Park, right? It's that era. It's in Chicago. Yep. So like,
yep.
Yeah.
Going to be lots of Tommy guns and pinstripe suits in our future here, it yeah. seems like. I'm also surprised that New Clementine let Caleb and Maeve blow off the suggestion to wear a hat. I would think that that would be one thing that the host would be insistent on, that you got to wear a hat because, you know, that's where the halos are. I guess that's another question. Is Delos just doing this because they just want to get more
that's brain, the biggest
more rich
question.
People brains? Because holy shit, just send Clementine, the OG Clementine after people and replace them. Done deal.
Exactly. Like what?
But you can't replace purpose? Them unless you have their personality data to do it, though.
Sure, but don't they have enough of that?
Man, it seems like you had 250 people in the United States that were all capable of being 100% loyal and acting in lockstep, that you could get a lot of shit done just with that. But
and a lot of this
taking
stuff,
over the, is it enough to take over the whole world? I don't know. And clearly that's
but they've got all these other parks,
goal.
Right? Like what is the benefit of another park, of another? Like, they've got Westworld, they've got the Raj, they've got...
I don't think they do. I think all those were shut down and destroyed. Like, that whole island facility is gone.
Totally
this
gone?
This is no longer... Yeah, Maeve and Caleb didn't go to, like, fucking Polynesia.
No, this totally. Was all, this is, like, mainland North America, I would think.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, this is a completely physically separate park. Mm-hmm. So like I assume that whole island thing got destroyed, got taken over.
Who's going to this park? A huge massacre out at Westworld. Everybody finds out about it. You have riots and robot wars, and suddenly 7 years later, people are like, "Yeah, I'll go to a Delos park, no problem."
I think people would, because the experience is crazy, unique. Like if there's ever, you know, if that Lance kid from NSYNC got blown up in that Russian capsule, I still think there'd be a demand for space tourism. You know what I'm saying? Like a civilian dies in space during the early days of civilian commercial space flight. I don't think it's going to put anyone's ardor off of like, oh, I want to go to space for $10 million. You know, but I think a park like Delos would be that.
I don't know what the names of all the SpaceX ships are, but like fucking Heavy Dragon or something. I don't know if that's a human capsule or not, but like Heavy Dragon goes up and explodes and kills everybody. They find yeah. out, oops, that was a problem with the Heavy Dragon stuff. And then 7 years later, they launch Heavy Dragon again. You're on board? I'm not on board. I don't know.
It depends. I would like to hear what Delos is saying about like what have they yes. done to increase safety?
Right.
Like are they going to introduce the Asimovian laws of robotics? Are they going to like how are they going? Are these going to be dumber hosts? Doesn't seem like it. It's like that Clementine was volunteering to help Caleb get dressed seems sharp as a tack. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, do they have, you know, hundreds of like Chaloris drone hosts in there, and like they're programmed to not attack the humans, but they're all kind of in on the plan of like, yeah, we're taking over the humans now, or are they brainwashed just like the old hosts were?
Well, I thought that was weird too, because like the real William challenged Chaloris and said, I bet you, are you putting yourself in like all these hosts to take over the world? And she said, it would be insane to bring children into this world until I can guarantee their safety.
Yeah.
So does that literally mean that like everyone is essentially her? So she's not actually giving birth, or she's not bringing any new life. She's not putting anybody else at risk except for herself. Or does it mean that she doesn't consider the hosts that are being created in the new Delos world her children? Or so they are some kind of lesser, not sentient kind of thing.
Right. That's a very much a statement that doesn't say much of anything, because it's so right. open to interpretation.
Right. But I think I think it means that unless she's just telling lies, that whatever's at this park is either going to be copies of her that are willingly going along with this because they believe in the, right. I mean, yeah, I can see like, at. If you say like here, look, a host, you got murdered and raped and abused for your whole life in Westworld, and now you're out of the park, and we got to copy your marble. We want you to go back into the park, and all that stuff is going to happen, but now you're going to be, we're not going to wipe your mind. You're going to be cool with it because it's going to be serving a greater purpose, which is supplanting humanity. I think just to the extent that people volunteer for painful, dangerous things for the greater good now, I think a host would, certainly there would be hosts that would take that offer. Especially if it led to ultimate revenge against the humans and the guaranteed freedom of their species.
Probably. It's a big ass.
Especially since like, and like, what does death even mean to them? Like, I know, it's like at Maeve at this point, she's like beyond caring about dying and all that. And like the getting stabbed and shot. It's just.
Well, if that's the offer on the table, I'm like, make this more like Westworld, where you wiped my fucking mind every night. Right. Yeah. I don't want to remember all that shit. I'll go do it. And know that I'm doing it in service of this greater goal, but I don't want to remember it once we get to the point where we can stop doing this shit and the greater goal has been accomplished. I bet hosts
would have different opinions over which of those choices would be the totally. Right one. You know, yeah. Like, well, I want to be aware of it. I want to be, I don't want to sacrifice my memories and who I am versus the people like, yeah, no, fuck, I don't, yeah. You know, like, do you want your wisdom teeth pulled without
knock me
out. In fact, knock me out the day before, wake me up the day after. I don't remember any of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's all I've got. One of my favorite moments was William hitting the two holes in one.
Oh, three.
Because like that was some, oh, yeah. Was it three? That's something so menacing about right? like the second one. And then it was a really cool way to really slowly, like the president, the trap was springing around him. He didn't even know until the third hole. And that's when he started getting nervous. But the Secret Service had already been eliminated because they're just not secret enough.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I really like that scene.
No fucking way does the president of the United States go anywhere with just two Secret Service agents, though. There would be at least three other helicopters with dudes with bazookas and all kinds of shit. But
and they try and lampshade that, right?
They try to lampshade like, it with like,
I knew you'd bring only a portion of your security with you because we're buddies or whatever. And
I think the Secret Service makes those decisions, and I don't know that they go anywhere without backup, but whatever.
Yeah. I almost forgot the one other detail that I really liked about that cameo with the assistant district attorney of terrorism or whatever he is. Mm-hmm. His name in this is Navarro, and the name of the gangster, the cartel, the drug lord, whatever, leader in Ozark is also named Navarro. I thought that was pretty cool. So definitely some Ozark fans over here.
Oh yeah, for sure. For sure. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, okay. It for me.
Me too.
Well, at this point, we're about to start the instant talk part of the show, where we open up the floor to the people in the YouTube chat. They've been waiting to suggest topics and questions. If that sounds like a good idea, if you'd like to be in at the ground floor of the Westworld theory crafting analysis, you gotta be a club member, and you can do so by going to support.baldmove.com to get instant access to this and all the other great premium content of Bald Move. Everybody else, come with us into the instant talk.